You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along. Thank you for joining us on Monday's edition of the Racing Podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by Rory Delaghi in the studio to look ahead to four races on Monday, as well as a quick recap of the star performers of the weekend. And you'll hear every race live on Monday afternoon from 1:50pm in the company of Luke Elder, Craig Forsyth and Lord John Budden in the William Hill Racing Radio studio. We've got Ayr and Newton Abbott in the afternoon with Windsor, Wolverhampton and the first day of the Galway Festival to come in the evening. Plenty to enjoy. But first things first, it's welcome to Rory Delaghi. How are you, Rory?
I'm very well, thank you, Sam.
Good. We're on the back of a pretty decent Saturday of action at both Ascot and York. We'll talk about some of the headlines there to kick things off. And I suppose we should begin with the big race of the day at the King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes, won by Highland Reel, who reversed the form with Dartmouth from the Hardwick. And it was a polished front-running ride from a prolific front runner. It wasn't as if the rest of the field didn't know that he was going to go to the front, and a good ride by Ryan Moore and a good win for Aidan O'Brien.
Yes, I mean, it was a disappointing contest with postponed coming out.
Yes.
And not as high class a renewal as we've seen of the King George, but masterclass from Ryan Moore from the front. Set the pace that he wanted, slowed the fractions when he wanted, quickened when he wanted, and everyone was playing to his tune. And in that respect, the result was very much on the cards before the race was over. And when Highland really won't go down as one of Aidan O'Brien's best or one of the greats of the game, he's won a King George, and he did it in comfortable style.
Yeah, and a Breeders' Cup tilt looks set for him as well. He's very much a globetrotter, Highland Reel. Seems to taking his racing all over the world.
Well, that was the question about him going into yesterday's race. You know, was he able to show the same kind of form on domestic shores as he had done on the international scene? And clearly he can. He's at home on very quick ground, and there's no reason why he shouldn't have a similar sort of campaign this time around, with the Breeders' Cup Turf being a race that that suits European challengers, generally speaking. So he'd have to be in the frame for that. For all, he doesn't particularly appeal as an arc course. The one thing he does have in his favour there is, you know, the arc can be a little bit messy. There can be traffic problems, and a horse that can race handily is often at an advantage. So, you know, he'd have place claims in that, but you'd like to think there's something a little bit better even from his own yard there.
Yeah, indeed. Wings of Desire and Dartmouth followed him home as well. It was good performance from Wings of Desire, back to the sort of form that we saw in the Dante. Was it just a case of him not handling the track at Epsom, and we see him back to his best at a track like Ascot?
Yeah, the grind would be an issue as well. So, you know, it was soft ground at Epsom, for the Derby, and both track and ground would have been a question mark. And he was, when he galloped at the track on the Breakfast with the Stars day, he was he arguably didn't go as well as stable companion Von Blucher, who was beaten in a handicap yesterday. So the fact remains he's got two very good performances on quick ground in the Dante and in the King George yesterday. So he's a horse who should continue to improve and win more races, and he will stay further than a mile and a half, I would have thought, based on his pedigree.
And just a quick word on the third horse home as well, Dartmouth for the Queen. Was tracking the leading pack until about halfway, then he was dropped to the back of the field. Any disappointment there for you, or did he run about how you expected?
He ran roughly his race. It would have made great headlines been a media man's dream if the Queen had won the King George. And he did get the verdict in the Hardwick at Royal Ascot, but the Hardwick is a Group 2. He just happened to get the best ride on the day in the Hardwick as well, and everything fell in place for him. But he's not really a Group 1, not a top Group 1 performer, really. So he ran about as well as could be expected.
Yeah, fair enough. On to some of the other races on Ascot's card as well. We must talk about the Princess Margaret, of course. A scintillating performance by Fair Eva, who was very heavily backed before the off on the basis of her devastating win at Haydock, and also the fact that she's, of course, the progeny of Frankel, who've been doing so well lately. But she won like like an odds-on shot, winning very, very well, Rory.
She looks a really good prospect. She did so at Haydock. She particularly the way she pulled clear in the last half furlong there without maximum pressure being applied, she did exactly the same yesterday. The one disconcerting aspect of her run was that she sort of shifted to her right when she was asked for a effort in the first place, got a little bit unbalanced. But once she got on an even keel, you know, the wheels spun for a second, but once she got a grip, she pulled a clear in very, very good style. The form of her of that novice stakes that she won worked out really well, with the second and third proving themselves to be black type fillies anyway, and she's beaten them very easily. She's beaten a better field in a group two easily yesterday, and clearly I think the Lowther's next on an agenda. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she was a filly's mile candidate in time. She will stay further. She's not all about speed. Essentially, the most impressive thing about her in her last two runs is how strong she's been in the last 100 yards or so. So I think a mile will be within her compass this year, and she's very, very exciting.
Yeah, certainly. Priced up as well for the 2017 1,000 guineas, 9-2 already. Short as that with us here at William Hill on the basis of those two runs. It was an across-the-card double then for Roger Charlton in the same colours as well. Time Test won the Group 2 York Stakes over at York in, I don't want to say workmanlike fashion, Rory, but it was workmanlike for a long way.
Yes, I mean, he's beaten a relative outsider in the end, but he was beating a horse that was coming back to form, Mondial East, and a horse who was second in the Breeders' Cup Mile last year, and the winner of the Woodbine Mile before that, and a horse who's exceptionally good on his day. Hadn't had conditions this season from a yard that's just been struggling a little bit with the health of its horses for a lot of the year. But Mondial East definitely bounced back to form. And Time Test, although he had to work hard to get past him, you know, strictly speaking, it was the runner-up who was the proven Group 1 horse, or Grade 1 horse, if you want to be pedantic about it. So Time Test has run close to his best form. They weren't a long way clear of Countermeasure, but you could argue that Countermeasure has been a revelation in his last two starts. He kept on really well in the closing stages, having set the pace, grabbing back third place, having finished a confusingly good fourth in the Eclipse in his previous start. But that's just, he's just looking that he is that good now. You know, he was rated 80 or thereabouts in handicaps before that.
81 before the Eclipse.
He's now 100 and well over 100. Yeah. At this stage.
He was 110 before yesterday.
110 before yesterday. We need to see what the handicapper does now. I don't think he's going to be pulling him down. Markedly for that. He's run to a similar level and proving the handicapper to be right, I think. So although we were expecting a fairly one-sided performance, I don't think it was as disappointing as some people might have thought at first glance. I think the chances are that the second and third have run to their form, and they are good, decent performers. Obviously, Mondial East is a better performer than Countermeasure at this stage, and he will probably go on to be competitive in top grade races again on the international scene. He's probably going to go back to the States/Canada. For an autumn campaign, so nothing to be too disappointed about. And Time Test showed a very good attitude, so he will continue to pay his way. I don't know where they're going to go next with him. I suppose the international is a race that they have in their mind, hence the visit to York there. He'd probably need to step up to win that,
especially if he bumps into Postponed, who could go down that route as well,
and that'd be a very interesting clash. But yeah, there's no reason to downgrade Time Test. I think maybe he was so impressive at Sandown that maybe we were looking for him to you know, show himself to be £7 or £10 better than that. Where he's essentially running to that form, and you know, his performances on the clock are very good, and he is a Group One performer. But he needs to show that he can raise his game to beat top class Group One performers at that sort of level, and we'll see if he's capable of doing that.
Okay, 7-2 then, if you do fancy Time Test for the Judman's International. Just one more horse I wanted to touch on, Rory, before we move on. Librissa Breeze landed the big handicap, of course, the International Stakes at Ascot, and got absolutely hammered in before the off. Has returned a starting price of 4-1, but there have been some people who would have thought that would be a difficult horse to find, given his lack of form at the trip.
Yeah, he wasn't hard to find in that he was extremely well backed for the Hunt Cup in his previous start, backed off the boards for that, and that gamble just went slightly astray. The question for those who would have noticed him there was the drop to 7 furlongs on quick ground, on what he'd done previously, didn't look an obvious one. He had been campaigned up to a mile and a quarter. He clearly stays a mile well. So dropping back to 7 furlongs on quick ground, having run so well on soft ground over a mile or softish ground, maybe the way the ground rides at Ascot is a little bit of a mystery at times. But he was again backed as if defeat was out of the question. And it's a proper gamble. I mean, often we talk about these market moves and you're talking about horses being priced up incorrectly, small money moving them markedly in the early stages and giving the impression of a big gamble. But this was a big gamble because it was sustained and it was very strong at the finish. For a horse to go off 4-1 in a race like the International, when so many other horses were tipped up for that race and plenty of horses being well backed, you don't get a weak market for that. And for him to have in price from the morning when he was well found in the first place was remarkable. And what was also remarkable was the manner of his win. He's come from very close to the back of the field and in two or three strides, he's gone from looking like he might get placed to absolutely certain to win the race. Put it to bed very, very quickly indeed and is clearly better than a handicapper at the moment. Connections, I think, clearly knew that. His owner is a renowned gambler and a man who, when he wants a bet, wants a big bet. And he may well have stepped in. He may well have stepped in at Royal Ascot as well. And he's a horse who will clearly be running in group company next time out.
Yeah, very impressive performance then. We'll leave Saturday's recap there then. Plenty of other good stories on the day, but we must move on to some of Monday's racing. We've got four races to look at. Two from Ayr, a jumper from Newton Abbott, and then one from Windsor on this edition. We begin with the Ayr 230. This is a handicap over 7 furlongs. Just 7 runners go down for this one. Who's on your mind for it?
Well, we're probably going to see a reasonably warm favourite, I think, in Cymraeg Bounty, who was a non-runner in a similar race last week. He's got a tremendous record since joining Ian Jardine. He was well beaten in the Carlisle Bell or the Carlisle Bell Consolation, but he was badly drawn that day and still actually shaped extremely well until he eased off in the closing stages. The winner made his run all the way up the rail. Cymraeg Bounty was widest of all, essentially, which wasn't the place to be. He's run 3 times at Ayr for Ian Jardine. He's won all three over a range of trips from 10 furlongs to 7. He seemed most at home over this course and distance last time on similar ground. It's probably heavy ground the time the rain got into it a few weeks ago, beating Sophie P. Now, Sophie P has run again since and run very well. She was a close fourth behind Royal Duchess. Off the same mark next time out, which suggests the form is solid, but she couldn't lay a glove on Cymraeg Bounty. The slight concern is that on heavy grounds, front runners may have been helped more than they would be on sort of good to soft ground. And although the advance going is soft, it's unlikely to be as testing as it was last time he ran. But he's won on different, as I said, he's won on good to soft over a mile and a quarter. He's won on good to firm over a mile and a furlong, and he's won on heavy over 7. So he's proven himself in a range of conditions, a range of trips, and he's very straightforward. He's also not coming out of that sort of class. There was a class 4 race he won last time out. He's got more weight in his back here, but deserves it. And the biggest problem is finding one to beat him anyway, even if you think he is slightly flattered by that run last time out, which is possible, because Sophie P, she's held by him. On that form anyway, and she's struggling to get her head in front for all. She ran very well last time out as well. Invoke would be interesting on quicker ground. He's not gone close, she rather hasn't gone close this season, but she's gradually been finding a way back to form, and she was just beaten over 2 lengths by Forever Lady a week ago on softish ground. I think she wants quick ground. And when she gets back on a quick surface, I think she'll bounce back to form. She was better than the result last time at being held up and trying to come with a run up the inside, which again isn't the way to do it there at the moment. So I think she's potentially overpriced, but I'd prefer her chances on a quick surface. Alexander Collantyre was disappointing last time out. She's normally very reliable, but she does need to bounce back from a poor run. And the main danger on form is Viarta, and he's got plenty of form that make him look a good bet on this card. The issue with Viarta, and you can ask Ross Brierley about him,
right,
is that since winning his maiden, he's gone off at single figure prices and handicaps 32 times on turf, and he's won 2 of those.
Wow.
It's a very disappointing horse in terms of his strike rate. Keeps running well. You can keep making excuses for him. Sometimes he looks unlucky. You know, he sometimes does particularly well coming from off the pace in races that suit front runners. Sometimes he goes off too hard in races that suit hold-up horses. He constantly draws you in to back him again, which is why he keeps going off at short prices. But he keeps getting beaten. The one thing you have to hold on to with him here is that he steps out to 7 furlongs. He hasn't had an awful lot of racing at 7, but he ran well in maidens over that trip for Mick Shannon as a 3-year-old. Most of his racing has been done at 5 and 6 since, and there is the possibility. The way he shaped last time out, he ran on very well at Pontefract over 6, looking like he was crying out for 7, but I think that's just Vallarta for you. Every time he runs, you keep thinking, in isolation, you keep thinking, well, if he started his run sooner, he'd have won that race, or if that was over 7 furlongs, he'd have won. But constantly you have this scenario with him that he looks like he's worth another chance, and he finds a way to lose. And I think he's found a way to lose here. And that's that probably helps make the market for you, because he has to be a short price again. But as I said, 32 times he's been a short price, and 2 wins on turf is just not enough to have you going in again with him. So that will help hopefully make Cymraeg Bounty a price. I wouldn't be piling in at very short odds on the favourite. But hopefully the presence of Vallarta there means that Cymraeg Bounty will be a backable price.
Joint top weight then, Cymraeg Bounty gets the pick for Rory in the 2:30 at Ayr. We go to the 4:40 now. Another race from Ayr's card. This is another handicap over a mile this time. 13 runners go down to contest it, so a little bit more depth to this one, perhaps.
Yes, there is plenty of depth to it. And again, Ruth Carr will have at least one fancied runner in the race. El Al was beaten narrowly at Musselburgh last week. Went down by a head off this mark, has actually won. I mean, the handicap has been very kind to El Al. He's won off this mark this season, and yet he's back on 66 again and shown that he can win off it again. But what he can't do is win off it at Ayr, in my opinion. Ayr does not seem to suit the horse. He's not run well in a couple of starts here over the last couple of years, whereas he always runs very well at Musselburgh for whatever. He runs well at Musselburgh and Carlisle. His best efforts really come right-handed. He can run okay this way around, but he was only 6th behind Beautiful Stranger here, 3 starts to go. He was, I think, last on his previous visit to Ayr, and he's got an entry at Musselburgh later in the week. I would rather see him get beaten here and then back him at Musselburgh at a bigger price. I think he's also drawn wide, which is not ideal for a front runner at this track. The horse that the other horse who would be fairly obvious is Moonlight Navigator, who's run well to be placed over 7 furlongs here in the last couple of weeks, 2nd to Royal Duchess. Who's a bit of a course specialist, and then 2nd to Forever a Lady. Both times not getting the clearest of runs through, and given the impression that he would benefit from a step back up to a mile. He's a course and distance winner, and therefore I think he ticks a lot of boxes. The worry for me is that he's got up 3 pounds in the weights, and handicapping is all about being on the right mark to win, and I think he's just missed an opportunity. If he hadn't run the last time and gone straight into this race, the step up to a mile would have given him that little edge he needed. But I think the step up and trip is offset by the rise in the weights, and while I think he'll run well, he might just find one or two to beat him again, and I think he's going to be a short price because he's coming here in such good form. One who's got similar sort of claims, and I think may be bigger in the betting, but this is always a little bit of a mystery until you see the prices.
Yeah.
Gworn has been running very well at the track. In fact, he pretty much runs nowhere else these days. Since April, he's run 6 times here. And he's run well most of those times. 3rd to Innocent Touch here, 2 starts to go over a mile and a quarter. And then 4th last week behind Dreamwalker. That was a much better race than this. He's running off a mark of 8. He runs off the same mark again tomorrow. But last week's race was a 0 to 100 and a very competitive looking one on paper. This is a 0 to 80. He's a class act in this field. He's not that easy to win with, but he keeps running to the same level. And again, those two go hand in hand, really. If you keep showing your hand to the handicapper, you don't get enough leeway to win races. But I think he will definitely hit the frame. And a couple of these who've won recently, the likes of Archie's Advice, who won last week over 9 furlongs from Frey, and Eastern Dragon, who won 2 weeks ago, beating Archie's Advice. It was behind Archie's Advice last time, beat JK 2 starts ago. The pair of them are very consistent, but they've gone up £6 for winning races, and I think that stops them winning now, whereas Gworn is on a perfectly reasonable handicap mark. I wouldn't say he's a good thing to win this, but I think he will. I think he's a cracking bet in the place-only market at the very least, and hopefully he'll be an each-way bet at the prices in the morning, because it looks very competitive on paper. But on the form that he's been showing his last couple of starts, he won't be out of the frame here, and he's got a better chance than most of winning.
Okay, have a look at Gwon then in the place market, or maybe Each Way won the race last year as well. We move on to National Hunt action now from New St Abbott. This is their 320, a handicap hurdle here. 2.25 miles, 7 runners, and a very interesting runner as well towards the head of affairs in Sorza, who we saw it even, who we haven't seen since 2014, Rory.
Yeah, Sora's on a hat-trick, but the fact that that he's been off the track for almost 2 years is a little off-putting. Dickie Johnson takes the ride, and Martin Hill's in better form now than he's been for a while, which makes Sora reasonably interesting. But the handicapper hasn't given him any slack for that absence. You wouldn't expect him to be as good at 11 as he was 2 years ago, and yet he's running off a mark of 128. He did win off 1-3-1. When last seen, but you know, the benefit of a recent run is always important for horses, particularly of a certain age, and it's hard to believe that he will be in as good form as he was. He's going to, in my view, he's going to need a warm up and maybe a couple to find his form again. So I'd want to be against Zora. I'd also want to be against First in the Queue. He's going to be a big price here anyway. First in the Queue needs to refine his form. And given he's now with Sheila Lewis and ridden by Martin McIntyre, I can see him being ignored in the betting anyway. Perspicace is interesting in the form he showed in weaker races at Worcester and Uttoxeter, winning twice in May, but he's run poorly twice since, once on the flat at Chester and then once back over hurdles behind Instant Karma at Stratford, when he was well behind Bill Boucher. And Bill Boucher will improve, I think. That was his first run for David Bridgewater. He'd shown perfectly solid form in competitive Irish handicaps, and shaped well for a long way when finishing fourth behind Instant Karma, forcing the pace, rallying initially before weakening from the last hurdle. The question with him is whether he stays the trip, but on pedigree he looks certain to. And when he has been beaten over further, he was pulled up at Ferry House over 2.5 miles in February, but that was in very deep grind. I think he probably wants quicker grind. And 2.25 miles around Newton Abbot should suit him down to the grind. He's also the likeliest leader in this race. So I think Bill Boucher, with Tom Cannon riding again for David Bridgewater, will take the beating here. Miss Crick is the danger. She's won a couple of weakish races, maiden hurdle in a mare's novice, Worcester and Fosse Lass. She ran well against Hassel at Uttoxeter last time out and looks on a fair handicap mark. She rated 119, but Hassel was well beaten off his handicap mark at Market Raisin since. That was a tough race, obviously, the summer hurdle at Market Raisin. But Miss Crick will run well, but I suspect that Bill Boucher will just be a little bit too strong for her.
Bill Boucher then for David Bridgewater and Tom Cannon in the 320 at New St Abbott. One more race to come on today's podcast then. This is the 7 o'clock at Windsor Fillies Handicap here, a qualifier for the Windsor Sprint Series final. So a 6-furlong trip for the 8 runners that stand their ground at time of recording. Talk us through these, Rory.
Not too many you can be hugely positive about at the moment, and I suspect you'll have a short-priced favourite here in the improving 3-year-old in the lineup. That's Inclination, who hasn't been with Clive Cox particularly long, joined him from Willie Brown, has only had 4 starts on turf. The first one came on heavy ground at Bath after a break, and she's won all 3 since. So that, by definition, I think makes her something like a 6-4 shot in this contest. And you know, 3-year-olds who are improving tend to be hard to beat in handicaps, especially if, like Inclination, they win by narrow margins. She's won by head and neck and 3/4 of a length on her. Her 3 handicap wins to date, and therefore it's difficult for the handicapper to say that she's much better than her mark, but she keeps pulling out a bit extra. The one thing I will say about her win over Jack Nevison at Salisbury last time out, she had the best of the draw that day, the way things have panned out at Salisbury at that meeting and since. She was drawn up the inside. She got a nice 2 into the race, and the runner-up was Stuck Wide, who travelled better than her, I thought. But maybe was caught a little bit wide on the track. So she's pulled out plenty in the finish to win by 3/4 of a length. She's now up £6 for it, though. And I think she might just be overbet. She's got obvious claims. She's going for a 4-timer in handicaps. And she's got that profile that people like. So she deserves to be favourite. But I thought Pretty Bubbles made plenty of appeal in this race. John Jenkins' mare is exposed, but she's not badly handicapped at the moment. She ran very well when third to Pet Oxide at Goodwood on her penultimate start, and things didn't go her way on Tapita last time out. She's obviously fully effective on turf. When she was third at Goodwood, the first and second were always first and second. The order didn't change there, and she did best of those who were held up behind the front two. The handicap has dropped her £2 since that, whereas she's in a weaker race now, I think. She's got top weight. She does have a touch of class here. And given that she's rated 78 now, and she's capable of running well in competitive handicaps of 80, I think she might just be good enough to win this, because there are question marks over most of the others, looking at them in race card order. Spirea comes from a yard. He's only had one winner this season. And she may well improve for her reappearance at Newmarket earlier in the month, but you wouldn't guarantee that given the yard struggling for winners. Shy Pen had everything go her way when winning a weak race at Yarmouth two starts ago. She was made favourite to win at the same track next time out and couldn't run to the same level. She's probably vulnerable in this grade, although Jane Elliott gets on perfectly well with her. Symposium for William Haggis, disappointing last time out at Chester in a race that was run to suit. She couldn't go the pace there behind Roll On Rory. The winner went too hard, but rallied to win. The horse who travelled best and finished second was well beaten at Yarmouth last week, and the form isn't terribly strong. Symposium probably needs further than a quick 6 furlongs on that evidence. Lucky Dies out of form. Bilt Eldar is coming back from quite a long layoff, 319 days since last seen. Dot has moved to Robert Kyle, which will be viewed as a positive for Minnie in this sort of grade, but has come from another good yard. It's come from Kevin Ryan to Robert Kyle, so needs to prove itself after that kind of absence. And Vina is badly handicapped on the basis of finishing 7th of 8 in a Group 3 early in the season. That was the rearranged Fred Darling, I think, where they couldn't run the Newbury meeting and they ran it at Chelmsford instead. She wasn't beaten that far, beaten less than 7 lengths, but the handicapper clobbered her for it, and she's not made any impact on handicaps so far. So that's a rundown of the fields, and on that basis it looks a fairly weak one, in which the favourite has obvious claims but will almost certainly be a short price, and Pretty Bubbles is very solid against her, and she would look a decent each way bet if you can get all of them going to post.
Okay, Pretty Bubbles then, the top weight ranks a good each way bet for Rory in that Windsor Sprint Series qualifier. Just one more time please, then wrap up your four selections for the action on Monday.
Cymraeg Bounty in the 2:30 at Ayr. In the 4:40, Gworn should go very close to repeating his win of last year. Bill Boucher just gets the verdict in the 3:20 at Newton Abbott. And Pretty Bubbles should push the favourite very close in the 7 o'clock at Windsor.
Excellent stuff. Thank you very much for that, Rory. Remember to join us from 1:50 p.m. on Racing Radio on Monday afternoon, where we've got all the meetings covered, 5 of them in total, Ayr and Newton Abbott in the afternoon, Windsor, Wolverhampton and Galway in the evening. Do join us for all of that. Thanks for that, Rory, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.